Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Okay, guys, we have a special guest with us today. Megan, would you like to introduce who is joining us for our recaps?
Yes, it is Sasha Morfaw from Bravo Breakdown. Welcome, Sasha.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining.
Yeah, we're so excited. How long have you been at the Bravo Breakdown on Insta?
I started the Bravo Breakdown in April. And then I kind of just like, you know, got the handle and put some pictures up and kind of planted the seed. You know, once you get the handle, you're like, okay, I have the handle. I have to do it. So I, you know, took the handle, put a couple of pictures up, but it didn't really start growing until around June of this year.
That's so crazy.
2 months. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Coming up on 3 months. Yeah.
Do you know what the thing is like that you can attribute that success to?
I think it was a perfect storm. I think it was a combination of like, okay, so I had been doing it in April, and then in June, there's a big, you know, wave of the Black Lives Matter that circled back around with the, you know, the killing of George Floyd. And a lot of people were posting the black squares on Instagram.
Yeah.
And the Bravo community is, you know, such a supportive and diverse community on Instagram. And, you know, a lot of them are just looking for ways to amplify black voices during that time, especially during that there was a week of sort of like a silence on a lot of pages that just kind of wanted to give that reverence for black voices on Instagram. And so a lot of pages just started to shout me out. And I made a lot of friends very quickly that way, because, you know, although the Bravo community is diverse, there's only maybe three to five black ran Bravo accounts on Instagram. So it was really an opportunity for them to like get to know who we are and hear what we have to say and see, you know, what we're bringing to the table, when typically you would get drowned out because there's so many accounts. So I think the combination of me having sort of laid the foundation of my page leading up to that point, and then that window sort of opened up, and then the people just sort of embraced me just in a way that I really will be forever grateful. There's a lot of pages I can think of off the top of my page. One of my friend, Oh No Bravo, she just, you know, shouted me out right away. And I remember I was texting a friend and I opened my phone one morning and I had like 200 followers. And I was like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden these people are following me out of nowhere. And then I realized it was like, you know, people were just literally introducing me to the community. Like a lot of big pages, Faces by Bravo. I know you guys know Steve from Faces by Bravo.
Oh, yes.
He was another really great friend of mine now who was really just embraced me. And then I think just the combination of that and then just like having the consistency, because you know how Instagram is, like people, when they get on their Instagram and they want to see that circle at the top of their screen every morning, that you're giving them something to consume. They want to hear what you have to say. So I think right from the beginning, I kind of stuck with that consistency because, hey, I'm at home. I have nothing else to do. Nothing else better to do with my time.
Right.
So it really gave me that time and space that I typically wouldn't have if I were working, to be able to post consistently. So I think, yeah, all of those things sort of created that perfect storm. And I'm like, here I am 2 months later with, you know, these followers every morning. I'm like, I don't know where they came from, but you guys are awesome. And I hope you never get tired of me.
That's amazing. I love that.
That is so amazing. I know. I mean, it sounds like it's just been such a whirlwind for you in the last couple of months, but like, here you are.
I know. Oh my God. If someone had told me like 2 months ago that, oh yeah, you're going to have an Instagram, you're going to have a following, you're going to go on these podcasts, you're going to talk Bravo, I'd be like, oh, that sounds awesome, because I love Bravo. I would love to, you know, spend my time doing that. But I would have never thought that I would have been able to take that initiative to do that, because it's, you know, it's very intimidating to put your opinion out there and think that someone cares.
Right.
To sit down and listen to it, watch it, even like your post.
We hear that.
So it was very intimidating, you know? So I'm grateful for quarantine for that, because I'm, you know, my account has become something so special to me. It really just, my followers and just the community, it just means a lot to me. And to, I would never have called myself an activist, but I really feel like my art is my activism, because I really make Black Lives Matter a really big focal point when it comes to like what I post in my Instagram stories. It's pretty well balanced between, you're going to get Bravo, but you're going to get Black Lives Matter. You're going to get the anti-racism. You're going to get the white fragility and the white privilege. You're going to get all of it, because it's equally as important to me. So I just feel lucky that I've even have this platform to be able to do that, because I'm typically an actor full time. And a lot of times you don't really get that opportunity to put your opinion out there. You're just kind of, you know, you're playing the character. Right. And it is what it is, you know? So it's nice to be able to merge the two.
Of course. Yeah. No, that's amazing. I mean, so let's let everybody get to know you a little bit better. If you had to pick your desert island housewives, I know personally just from following you, you're a big fan of Leah from Real Housewives of New York City. So
yes,
if you had to
I
pick
am.
Desert if you had to pick desert island housewives, who would be like the five or six ladies you'd take with you?
Good question. So Leah's great. I love Leah. And also too, you know, she's close to my age range. So I find that relatable as well. And then she's into the street. I've actually been, you know, she's become a good friend of mine. She's been another person that's like a great learning example too. Like I love that she is, you know, vocal in the Black Lives Matter community and, you know, just... I think it's important to look for ways to shine a light on your white privilege. So her and I were actually sort of DMing the other day talking about that. Like, how can we find different ways to point out her white privilege, which I think is really cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
So love Leah, love Nene. I know that's controversial because a lot of people are like, eh, they're here, neither here nor there. Cause you know, she's a very polarizing character, but I'm definitely a Nene fan. Love Nene. I actually really like Phaedra's. I think Phaedra's fun sometimes too. I love whenever she, you know, pops mm-hmm. back on, you know, talking to Andy on Watch What Happens Live. She's always fun.
We talk about Phaedra a lot. We're like, we miss her.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I love Phaedra. She's so great. And Sonia is my girl.
Of course.
She mm-hmm. is just has a light about her. I will always, Sonia, she, especially this, you know, this past week on Roni, I just find her to be so, so, so fun. Let's see, who's one more that I, oh my gosh. And Karen from Potomac.
Yes.
Of course.
This week. I feel like she was on this week.
Girl, I love her. She's yep. so great. She's so fun.
I mean, this sounds like my dream desert island housewives too. I feel like you picked exactly right? all of the people that I would pick. Maybe not Nene, but like everybody else for sure.
Right. That's what I was like. I know she's not, but I will. Oh, and one more. Let's not, you cannot forget my girl, Portia, especially
oh, of course,
with
yeah.
the what she's been doing lately. I mean, she can just be the leader of the tribe and I'm going to follow whatever Queen Portia says.
Yeah, that's true. That. That's a good point.
Yeah. Nene's that girl. I think for me, my love for Nene is old school Nene. Like when her and Kim were best friends, season one, I still have such a soft spot for that Nene.
Well, and I think it's relatable. We're all still like holding out hope that Nene will come
yeah.
back,
yeah.
you know, just a little bit lighter, a little more fun.
Yeah. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
You know, because it's there. You can see it there. You just know that it's like, okay, she's obviously, people go through things in their personal lives. And, you know, you just try to take that into account when you're someone's, when you want to root for someone, you're like, no, they're just having a off season, but I still love them.
Have you seen yourself getting into any new Bravo shows since quarantine started?
See, because, you know, I pretty much watch everything on Bravo. I got into a little bit more of the Married to Med
yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
So I started watching that. So that I found I enjoy that a lot. And then Below Deck I'm pretty new to the Below Deck sort of train. I kind of watched it a little here and there prior to this season, but this season I've really gotten into, because I was always kind of like intimidated by the boat life. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to relate. I don't know what they're talking about.
Right. You know? Yeah. I know. I felt the same. I was like, I'm not going to be into this show. Meanwhile, I'm now just devouring it
yes.
nonstop.
Yes.
It's also a great show that if you have friends who don't watch Bravo and they're like, I don't know, I've never seen it. It's a good way to get people into Bravo if they don't want to go straight to Housewives. You'd be like, well, check out Below Deck. Like, it's a little bit of a different pace, a different kind of cast of characters. So that's always a good one to try to introduce your friends into Bravo. And then you get them hooked on Housewives later on.
Absolutely. That's a good one. That's such a good point. That's such a good point.
Well, we have a lot we need to talk about now. Today, we have Real Housewives of Potomac, this trip to Monique's lake house, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part one, and Real Housewives of New York City season finale.
Plus, Megan, you got the chance to interview Real Housewives of Orange County alum Lydia McLaughlin.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I needed to pick her brain about some OC alum, but we'll get into that interview later.
And, of course, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorn, as always.
Yeah. All right. Should we start with Potomac?
Yes.
I feel like to really better get to know you, Sasha, what are your feelings on T'Challa?
Oh, my gosh. I love T'Challa, and I love watching the other ladies react to T'Challa. It's
how much
hilarious.
They hate T'Challa.
Yes, it's so hilarious. I love it. I love it so much. I love Chris's reaction the most.
I don't fool with that bird.
Honestly, watching T'Challa, I'm like, do I want a bird now? I've never thought of myself as a bird person, but I'm like, maybe.
I know.
Also, Sasha, we got to get your perspective on Giselle and Jamal, because the one thing at the beginning of this episode that stood out to me was Giselle coordinating Jamal's schedule with his assistant. So I understand that maybe when you are a certain high profile person, like that might be protocol. But to the person that you're dating, like it just felt really, I don't know, disconnected to me. And I think we've gone back and forth a lot about this Giselle Jamal relationship, getting back together and the kids. Like, what do you think about the whole thing?
Yeah, I found that so odd when she was talking to the assistant as well. And even me, I was like, okay, this is probably just my own insecurity is my only jealous self. But I'm thinking like, okay, if I've been married to you and you, I know that you've cheated on me and we're back together. First of all, I do not want you to have a female assistant, and she sounds too cute. She needs to sound ugly and old. If you're going to be working with her, she needs to sound ugly and old. So that was my first
thought. Right, like Hugh Hefner's assistant, Mary, remember? Yes, she was like 100.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, no. She sounds too cute over the phone to be working with you that quickly. Because you got a history of stepping out of the home. So I'll be watching him very closely. That was my first thought. Yeah. And yeah, definitely, it was definitely something that would be odd to be dating someone and working so closely. But I figure, you know, they probably kind of picked back up where they left off. So it wouldn't be like a typical dating situation.
Right.
But it's definitely not how you want to start off when you're trying to rekindle a relationship where you've been broken up for 12 years, especially a long distance one. You kind of want to feel like it's a little bit more personal than that.
Well, and also I forgot about Giselle's book, in all honesty. And then we find out about it. Like, I just got reminded and I was like, this whole book is about
my word
Jamal cheating on her. And now she's like, it's just so weird.
I know. It kind of made me want to read it.
It's actually perfect timing. I know now. I'm like, now I actually would make it because I remember it came out. When she had the luncheon. I actually just saw a clip of the episode when she was on Wendy Williams talking about the book. And I remember when I watched that episode, I was like, oh, why do I care about this book? And now I actually am really interested to read it.
When they flashed the headline of that article that was Jamal saying, I believe in open marriage, I just forgot to tell my ex-wife. I had not seen that before, but it's when Karen was talking about the affair and like, how could she get back together with him? That's crazy.
Oh, no.
It is. It's a lot.
So has he now changed his mind again, or is she on board with that?
I would assume that she's not on board.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know.
Because it would be way too embarrassing for her, for the other women to know that she's back with a man that she's in an open relationship with. They would drag her.
Right. Because I don't think she'd get back involved in that situation.
That's so true, especially because all those rumors have been swirling always that like that's Ashley's deal with Michael and she's just not saying it.
Yes, and Giselle is the main one that stirs the pot about that rumor with Ashley. She loves to get in there and bring it up, and she loves to get in there and bring up the Monique stuff too, like, you know, saying that she's got side pieces and stuff. So I find it ironic that she actually has a man that has several side pieces, yet she loves to bring up everyone else's side pieces.
Oh, it's true.
I'm just saying.
Got her. You got her. Sasha, what's your take on Giselle's sense of fashion and sense of interior design?
You know, everyone has their own personal style, i.e. Sutton. You know, there's people out there, they like what they like. So I'm not a hater, but I will say not for me. For me, it's not
right.
It. I think that Karen just summed it up, and we need to play the clip of her just being like, thank God Giselle's a good-looking woman because goddamn, she can't dress at all.
Thank God Giselle is a good-looking woman because goddamn, she can't dress at all. I'm ashamed to be seen with her sometimes, to be honest. I don't know what she's going to wear. I got a headache talking about Giselle's clothes. You have an exception or a timeline?
I watched that so many times. I rewound that back so many times because it was hilarious. I was like, thank God.
And it's true. It's so true. Only Giselle can get away with it because she's so beautiful that you kind of forget to look at the rest. But if you do focus on it, you're like, right.
I love how Karen was I'd be embarrassed to show up anywhere with her because I don't know what she's going to wear. Oh, my God.
I just love the dynamic that Karen and Giselle have because they are friends. They've known each other for so long. They operate more like frenemies than anything else. But there is there is a yes. love there. There is something that, yeah. or maybe it's more of a respect. And I think, you know, over the last couple of years, we've interviewed Giselle and Karen a bunch of times. And, you know, Karen will always be like, well, I'm not going to talk about Giselle, but let me just talk about Giselle for 1 minute. And you're like, okay. You know, there's always like this gentle shade back and forth. But I think there is a mutual love and a mutual respect there where Karen can sit there and say all those things about Giselle's outfits and the way she dresses. And it's kind of okay, you know?
That's why I think that Giselle needs somebody like Karen around. Just sort of keep her a little bit grounded because she's only going to go but so far. You know what I mean? They're going to keep it light. I feel like with someone like Candace or Ashley, Giselle will just go so hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's true. What do we think about the fact that Ashley decided to bring baby Dean on this trip?
You know, I respect that as a mom because I think moms should have the choice to do whatever they want, whatever they feel comfortable with. But it was a little bit odd to see that because you don't see that very often on any of the housewives where they bring their babies to trips on trips. So I found it a little bit odd, but I mean, I'm not against it. I mean, I'm not whatever judge what anyone wants to do as a mother, but I definitely felt where Wendy was coming from because I've definitely been right. in a situation like that where I've worked my ass off to do something. And so it comes easier to someone else or someone else takes a shortcut or someone else does the easy way. I definitely understand that frustration. So I can see both sides for sure.
I think as a friend, I would just be pissed. Like, it just changes the dynamic a little. Like, I wouldn't say anything yeah. like Wendy did, but I would be like, what are we doing? It's like bringing your boyfriend to, like, a girl's dinner. Yes. And you're just yeah. like, why? Yes.
Like Alex used to yes. do on Real Housewives of New York City. Right. Well, it's, you know, Ashley doesn't necessarily have to explain herself, right? Like, she doesn't really have to qualify why she made this decision to bring her child. And since this episode aired, Wendy has right. basically apologized on social media, just being like, nothing but love for Ashley. You know, I think my reaction wasn't appropriate for the moment. So I think Wendy recognizes that she maybe took it a little bit too far. But I think, Sasha, what you said is a really good point. Like, Wendy's looking at it like, I made a lot of arrangements. I worked very hard to make sure that I got here without my child. I didn't know that you could have just brought your baby along with you because maybe Wendy would have done the same thing. So maybe there was a little bit of, you know, projection there. She was sort of like, oh, damn, I, you know, wish that I had my daughter with me if Ashley's going to have baby Dean.
I know how much I sacrificed and suffered to be able to be here. I pumped yes. around the clock. I was yes. pumping every 2 hours.
I'm happy
I put
for you.
Milk
that's,
in my freezer just so I could spend the weekend with you ladies and make sure I'm present. So I know it can be done. So I don't have sympathy for her saying
I
she's a new
ask
mother.
For your sympathy.
No. I never
I
just
asked
don't.
For your sympathy.
Mind
your business.
This is my
mind
business.
Your house. Go FaceTime your kids my and mind your business. Business.
Okay. That's why I'm able yes, to yes, be yes, here. Yes. If your and house is
a second,
then you'll be different.
Wait a second.
Do any of us have kids here? Do you, Sasha?
I don't.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, I don't know.
Harder to relate, but.
Yeah. I never want to judge, you know, because you never know. Like maybe Dean has a hard time, you know, breastfeeding, you know, maybe he doesn't like the bottle and she, right. you know, maybe it's hard. Like you never know what people have going on. So I try not to judge, but I definitely would be frustrated. That's why it's like kind of tough to speak on it.
Yeah. Well, I think your point, Megan, too, of like being a friend on the trip, I would probably be like, oh, you brought the baby? Like, I don't want to be around a baby. Like, especially if I didn't have kids, I'd be like, no, I don't want to be around kids when I'm on vacation. Like, no.
Yeah.
Right.
And as much as I think Wendy like kind of went about it the wrong way, I also echoed her feelings about why can't Dean's father watch the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That was my first thought right off the top. Like, so Michael is just, he doesn't have to do any daddy duties
right.
at all. Like, what's going on here? Was that like some sort of, you know, deal they made where, okay, because, you know, she had to convince him to even have the kid.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, is he hanging that over her head? Like, well, you're the one that wanted the kid so bad, so you need to take care of it because I have to work. I'm the breadwinner. So you just stay in your lane, play your role.
Well, Michael better. There's something to come that we're going to see. And that's exactly why Michael didn't want to take care of the baby.
Oh, yeah, because we saw
exactly.
it on the next
so,
one.
We know
that's
what Michael
true.
Gets into. Okay?
He's like, no.
And it's nothing good. And he should have been watching the baby.
Seriously, he should have. Oh my gosh. It's like, is it going to just get worse and worse? I feel like with Michael, it gets worse every season. There's something that we hear about that he's doing that's just inappropriate.
He just does not know how to behave sometimes.
Right? It's like, dude. Just get your messy with it. Like, if you're going to do your dirt, at least clean up your tracks. He doesn't even try.
Well, and it's always, I think I was doing an interview with one of the executives on this show, and I was just like, I would have thought that he would come in this season and just been squeaky clean. Like, this is his redemption season, because last season he was in the hot seat the entire time. So then to have the balls to like go out and do anything that's messy is just like, what are you thinking?
He's thinking with the wrong head. Okay, that's what it is, Megan.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to know, do we know what the shade was on the after show? Because Sasha, Megan and I always get super excited when the after show is featured in an episode or at the reunion when they reference that, because it's like one of the, you know, Bravo Digital's big priorities and we all work on those.
By the way, I love the after show. Like, that's like my dream. Every time I watch the after show, I was like, this is what I want to be doing. I want to talk to them. I want to ask them the real, like, this, that's the dream. That's the goal right there, to sit in front of them and ask them the real questions that we all want to know.
I think they showed it a couple episodes ago. What it wasn't even bad. It was them making a joke about how Giselle had run into Candace's mom, and Candace's mom saying something about how she's still paying for,
oh, okay,
for Candace's lifestyle. Okay. It was something like that, and them just laughing at it. Yeah. So to me,
yeah,
very mild. Very
well, and
mild
it's also
shade.
That was, you know, a big storyline last season. And I think all of us probably still assume that Dorothy is helping them out in some way, shape, or form. I don't know. I just personally think that. So that seems pretty gentle. And maybe Candace was overreacting to that. But that's, you know, that is kind of Candace's MO, right? It's overreacting to things.
I think so.
I think here's the thing, is that first season housewives have to come in hot, because they know that if they're too quiet, the Karens of the group who are more senior will kind of like step all over them. But I think maybe Wendy overshot a little bit at this dinner.
Yeah, that escalated pretty fast, right? I didn't see that coming.
Also, the fact that she brought up the PhD thing makes me laugh, because have you ever known anyone who has a master's and they have reminded you at least 10 times that they have a master's? They find a way to bring it into conversation. And you're like, I get it. Like, you went to school again. Like, I understand.
Hey, don't call me Wendy. Wendy. People like you.
Gone with the wind,
you.
Wendy.
Gone with the wind,
people
Wendy.
Like you don't call
Bye,
me Wendy.
Wendy. People like
Bye,
you call
Wendy.
Me Dr.
Bye,
Wendy.
Wendy. Oh, my God.
So I can't imagine someone who has as many degrees as she does. She must be just miserable in conversation.
Because she's always bringing it back to that, right? I'm just going to start doing that with my degree. I have one degree, and that is a Bachelor of Science in Theater Arts Management. So I'm just going to start bringing that up at all times and finding a way to like connect the conversation to my Bachelor of Science. Like, take that.
Right.
I am qualified to have this conversation. Okay, I have a Bachelor of Science.
But I will say, all this said, I love Wendy. I think she's such a great addition.
No, I do too. And I love that her and Karen finally got to like have the conversation of like, look, what's going on? Like, why do you not acknowledge me whenever we see each other? I still don't feel like we fully got to the bottom of it, but I'm glad that they started the conversation, because they were kind of tiptoeing around it the past few episodes.
Yeah.
Wendy asked the direct question. Karen gave an indirect answer.
Right. She talked about her coochie box.
I will say, too, that Karen did go on social media. She actually commented on a Bravo Instagram post, and then I think she posted herself and she tweeted some clarification on her and Wendy. And yes, they sit on the same board, but they hadn't really ever been in in-person meetings together. And sure, they took a picture on a red carpet together once, but they didn't really truly know each other as much as Wendy is portraying, I think. So,
but Wendy brings up, they're not even, it's not just that they're on the same board, they're on the same subcommittee of that board, and there's only five people there. So how are you not?
Right.
Right? That's pretty tiny.
Maybe they missed some meetings, you know, like, I don't know. Karen was really trying to be like, look, I really don't know Wendy. Like, she's doubling down now on social media about how much she doesn't know Wendy. But of course, she ended the social media rant with like a wink of like, can't wait for our dinner date. So, you know, I think the two of them are going to be fine ultimately down the road. But I think it's a little playful. Like, to your point, Megan, about, you know, new housewife versus a veteran, maybe Karen does feel a little bit of that. Well, she's got to earn her way into this group by like dealing with our shade a little bit.
Yeah.
Before we just are all in on Wendy, you
it's
know?
It's like the subtext of the whole thing in terms of okay, I think that when a new housewife comes in, you're hoping they're great on some level if you're a seasoned housewife because you want to make a good show. But I think you're also always a little scared for your place in the cast, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very thin line because you definitely want to make that mark. But like you said,
yeah,
you don't want to, because people get a bad taste in their mouth really quickly if they feel like someone's coming in there and they're just like guns blazing.
Any last thoughts on Potomac before we move to Bev Hills? I mean, I assume some of us are saving that great T'Challa moment for roses this week.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah, I am. All right. We'll wait.
Probably. It'll be a collective rose.
I spoke to Lydia McLaughlin, who you remember from Real Housewives of Orange County. She has a new digital series on BravoTV.com with her mom, Judy. It's called Glitter Town. I talked to her about that, plus her thoughts on some recent OC shakeups and revisiting some of those iconic OC moments we remember her from. Here's that interview. Lydia McLaughlin, it is so great to have you back on the podcast. It's been a couple of years, but I'm so happy to be talking to you again.
Does my voice sound more mature?
So much more mature.
Yes, look at me.
How are you doing? How is your family in this time?
I'm doing good. You know, all things considered, I'm really trying to be positive, and I've been reading some good books and just about perspective and not being anxious. And especially, I have three little boys. I have an 11-year-old, and I have a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old. So I really, you know, I don't want them to be freaked out. So I've really been trying to not be freaked out.
How are you guys doing without driving each other crazy all the time?
We are lucky. I mean, I live in Orange County, so it's like always sunny. We have gotten a lot of fun little house toys. We have a pool, and my husband hooked up a zip line over the pool.
Oh my God.
So I know. So like even my little 5-year-old climbs the ladder and can go and then lets go above the pool. So I've been getting some good Instagram videos because of that, which is fun.
That's amazing. Well, you guys sound like you're having a great time. You have a new digital series on BravoTV.com.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know who I am anymore. Watch out.
Tell everyone, yes. Tell all the listeners all about it. What is this show?
You guys, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the show is called Glitter Town, and it is just so fun and silly and mindless, like, but at the same time, it's deep and it shows my mom and I. So many times when we'd go out in public, everyone would be like, how's your mom? I love your mom. I love your relationship with your mom. It reminds me of my mom, or I wish I had that with my mom. So we just were like, you know what? We are hilarious. Wherever we go, people think that we're so funny. So we should just film us doing silly things together and see what comes about it. And so that is basically the show. It's just us, like one episode, she'll teach me how to make meatballs that have been passed down from my family for generations. And then the next episode, we're talking about faith and I'm talking about the Bible and she wants me to hug trees and feel the energy and the green grass. So it's just everything you can think of us two being happy together.
That's great. And how is Judy doing?
Well, you have to watch Glitter Town and to see. But she, first of all, is a babe. She's in her 70s. And she just like everyone always has been saying since I was little, oh, you and your sister, which I used to think was funny. But now I'm getting annoyed by it. And I'm like, look, she's in her 70s. She obviously is not my sister.
She probably loves that.
Oh my gosh, she loves it. But she's awesome. She just like still gets her lashes done and she has like her hair and she's lost a lot of weight since you've seen her on Housewives. So she is a babe. You guys have to check her out.
Oh, I can't wait. And is there still, I mean, I would assume from the name, still lots of glitter happening.
I mean, one episode, we literally just go to a street corner and when people walk by, we have confetti bombs and we just confetti bomb them.
That's amazing.
So our whole goal is just to like make people smile and spread light and to make people feel joy in their heart. So that's like our goal.
And obviously so many people love you because of the time on Real Housewives of Orange County. And I hear that one episode, there's a reunion between you, Gretchen, Lizzie, and Alexis.
Yeah. One of the episodes, my mom and I host a brunch where we have, you know, powerful women that I know in the community come together just to lift each other up and have like a good brunch together. And so, of course, I invited all of my friends. And so Gretchen and Lizzie and Alexis came, which was really fun. Just, I think, you know, the viewers get to just get a peek of them and see them. My mom, like, we have a little red carpet and my mom is on the red carpet interviewing people. So she kind of interviews them and it's a really cute moment. So definitely, yeah, Glitter Town. Woo woo.
How is Gretchen as a mom?
Oh my gosh, she's the best. I actually see her every week. We're in a Bible study together and I just love seeing her. I just saw Slade and her the other night. So we've grown really close and I love just she's a wonderful mom and she loves her little baby and she's just dedicated her whole life to Skylar. So it's good. I'm proud of her. She's been through a lot. They've been through a lot, you know.
That's
so
amazing.
It's just like a gift to see. She's really wanted a baby. And so to see her become a mom is just, I think, so fulfilling.
Yeah. And how is business going? Are you and your husband still working together?
Yeah. So Doug and I have a magazine called Nobleman and it's been going really good. To be honest, our last issue before the global pandemic and coronavirus kicked into our lives was like our best issue ever. And we had so much amazing things happening. And then everything got canceled and put on hold. So that has just been it was just a real bummer. I actually got like really upset about it because I felt like it was so out of my control and I had worked so hard to make something and then it just was taken from me for no reason, I felt like.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people obviously relate to that. And so now just we're able to start slowly building again. We're going to print our next issue next week. We did a photo shoot with John Legend. It was like his first photo shoot. We all had to wear masks and get our temperature checked. So it was a very different vibe than normal. But we were just all grateful to be on set and figure, okay, whatever we need to do. So
absolutely. That must have been exciting for him too. He's such a Housewives fan and to be
yeah.
in a Housewives magazine.
I know. I mean, he played it cool. I played it cool too, you know. But inside I was like, are you calling your wife right now? And I have a lot to talk to her about.
Right.
She's, yeah, so we'll see.
I have to pick your brain a little bit about OC Housewives because who would know better than you?
I mean, I am here to spill the tea. Ask me anything.
What was your reaction when you found out that both Tamara and Vicky were not coming back to OC?
I felt like it was a long time coming, honestly. I felt like it was good for the – I think it's going to be really good for the show. I'm excited to see the season. So I just think it's a good – I think it's a good switch up. I think they needed to do it, and I'm excited to see what the cast does. So
do you think it's kind of what happens when you've been on a show for too long and you just felt like the energy was getting too negative there?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't really speak into that. I guess a little bit, maybe I noted I obviously love a couple Housewives franchises. And I think that once you've just been on it for so long, at least the vibe with OC is you think maybe you can control it or you think maybe you're a producer yourself. I definitely noticed with myself having done one season and then able to do a second season. My second season was so much better for me and different because I knew what to expect and I kind of knew the game. I would assume after a decade, it's just too much. Also, I think it's important for, like, we know their life. It's time to get to know some other people, you know?
Absolutely. Do you think it's hard? I mean, you've left twice and I mean, I think it's probably different for you because it wasn't
my life.
It wasn't your entire life.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be harder for them to transition out of that?
You know, I love Vicky and I've ran into her a couple times and I think it's good for her. I think she was ready to leave and she has a successful relationship. She has an engagement. She has a daughter. She's a grandmother. I think that she has a lot going on. I do know that Tamara, I mean, we can just see from press and from everything, like she's not letting it go, right? She's in every headline. She's still talking about it. I just feel bad for her. It's just kind of like, okay, you need to move on and do something else. And she's talking about the next season. And it's just, I think it's a little,
right.
It's just sounds pathetic.
You are sort of a model housewife in terms of making a graceful exit, I feel.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Shannon and Tamara both have blocked me, so I don't really know what's going on in their lives.
Oh, no. What did you do? Just kidding.
No, I'm a horrible human being, I guess. So, I mean, exactly. You're just kind of like, okay, we're still holding on to stuff. But I don't know. Maybe they've unblocked me now. I haven't checked lately.
Yeah.
But I think that it's important for housewives. The whole point of it is to get a peek into these people's lives that lead these really interesting lives, right? And I think sometimes it's hard when the housewife, their life is just because of the show, you know?
Right.
So that's like an interesting, that's like an interesting dynamic because the show brings so many opportunities and you all of a sudden have this big platform. Everybody loves to watch you. And so with that comes all these great opportunities. But if that's taken away from you, will you still have those opportunities? And so for me, it was always a conscious effort to be like, okay, we have a magazine. We're getting to do all of these things because of that, not just because I'm a real housewife.
Right.
So it wasn't as hard for me when the show was, you know, gone and some of those opportunities were taken away. My life was still really full.
Yeah. Do we get to see your dad at all in Glittertown? I have to say, the little peek we got into like him and your mother's relationship, I was so in love with. Oh. I just want to know more about their marriage.
They're amazing. They've been married over 40 years. They're like totally in love with each other. We just went on a trip with them and they were like making out in the pool the whole time.
Oh,
so cute. Yeah. They're total opposites though. My mom like lives for the limelight. I basically went back on Housewives for her because she just loves it. She like could not get enough of it. And now we're doing Glittertown together, which she is so excited about. I mean, I can't believe she's not on the podcast with me right now. She just like loves, you know, everything about it. She would have had her hair and makeup done even if it was just for the podcast.
She's made for reality TV.
Everywhere we go, everyone, like she has everyone cracking up laughing because she just doesn't think and she's in her own little world and it's just a world of fairies and bunny rabbits. But my dad is the opposite. He like is so quiet and doesn't like attention and he's very straight shooter. And anyways, they're total opposites attract. So.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to get a lot of positivity from Glittertown, which it's a great time for. But in the meantime, like you said, you're doing a lot of reading because you were struggling with quarantine. I think everyone's just getting tired. We're wondering when is normal going to happen again?
Yes.
Any positive wisdom you can impart on all of us? We need it.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
No pressure, Lena.
No pressure at all. Just tell me all of the secrets to life. Well, I think like with anything, it's about your perspective, you know, and I think that there's a season for a season. Like you can be grumpy or you can be upset. Like, oh, this all got taken away from me. But I find for myself, it's really important for me to set my perspective. And so I try to be really like grateful and have a grateful heart. So I do spend time in the morning in prayer, or you can call that meditation, where I just try to start off by being grateful and just looking around at all the things that I have and my children and my health and, you know, little things to big things. And then I do make a request and I like ask, like, what is it that's stressing me out? And then I kind of like to sit and just with myself, with the presence of God, the creator, and just like try to feel centered. I find in the morning, like the first thing, if I like reach for my phone and I do emails or I go and I scroll Instagram, that's just like puts me in a different headspace for the whole day. But really being intentional in the morning and like trying to be positive, I think is really important. It's really helped me.
See, I knew you would have the perfect answer.
I mean, we're in control of our minds. We can control our thoughts. And of course, if we're going to be negative, like that's where our thoughts are going to go. And it takes a real, you know, learning and to try to teach yourself to be content. I love the verse where it says, I have been in want and I've been in need and I have learned to be content in every situation. So I think that's something everyone can learn. No one's just born content. We have to learn that.
Thank you. I think I needed that.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. I mean, it is. It's going to be okay. There's these small gems in these moments, and life will get back to normal. I saw a picture from like the 20s of a bunch of people at a baseball game wearing masks.
Right.
And like, this has happened before. We will go back to normal. So like, in the meantime, what can you do with today? Yeah, like, things have been taken away from you, but like, maybe you lean in to learn a new skill. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not learning a new skill. But I at first was like, am I going to learn French? And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to keep my friggin' children alive and stay happy. So my goal is to be positive. That's what I'm trying to learn. So I'm leaning into like being silly with my boys and spending more time like at night with them, because I don't have to rush off because business is not going that well right now.
Yep. But I can't wait for everyone to watch Glitter Town and get a daily dose of Lydia and Judy. We need it.
Woo, woo. I think, honestly, I feel like people will watch one and then they'll just want to watch them all, because it's not like a drama where it's an ongoing storyline of my mom and I get into a fight and then will we resolve it. It's literally like fun little little episodes where we go on adventures together. And some of them, like, you can learn from. I do my makeup, and I'm trying to teach my mom to do the makeup, and she is horrible at doing her makeup. So it's like she's Lucille Ball and she's hilarious. But at the same time, at the bottom will be like a list of all the makeup that I use. So if there's something that you liked, you know, maybe you can get it. So it's educational also. So it's good.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and telling us all about it.
Yeah, of course. I love it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Woohoo.
Well, speaking of Real Housewives of Orange County, the trailer for season 15 just dropped this week, so let's take a listen to that.
Are you excited to start this new year?
I'm excited for 2020.
This is my party. How dare you? These women are horrible. They lie to each other all the time.
I'm gonna freaking be a statistic for corona f-ing virus.
There's nobody on the street.
I don't know what to do.
Mom, I'm so mad at my kids.
Cannot wait.
Let me just start all over.
Coming in hot!
This season on The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Big Dig Daddy from Cincinnati right here.
Can someone bring a shot?
Is Fun Emily coming out?
Hey!
Have you been thinking about a drag name?
Divine Devon.
Oh my God, yes!
I went to dinner with Bronwyn and her friend Elizabeth.
Oh yeah, oh yeah!
Elizabeth Vargas has got fun!
Woo! Jimmy and I have a very intimate relationship. We just don't have sex.
What?
I know, it's so weird.
This is my third wedding. White is supposed to signify like virgin.
Our whole life is having sex.
I am not surprised about that at all.
I invited Matt over, and I'm gonna put a smile on my face.
Hello.
It's hard to stand up to him.
You're not nearly as fun.
Bronwyn is broken right now.
This was the story that she was going to blackmail me.
What? Bronwyn's talking to me.
Last year they were like, do you want to come sleep with us? This year they're like, your home's too small.
Shannon was the one that's like, yeah, it's kind of sad.
Don't you dare accuse me of something that I did.
I don't know what's wrong with Shannon. She just turned like that. Does she do that?
Yes.
You're being the negative Nancy.
What word did I say?
Me? I would never say something like that.
Not everybody's following my rules.
Ew. That is so gross.
They have shut the entire f-ing country down.
They're stopping production.
You're supposed to be 6 feet apart.
Sorry.
No. Sit down. Put your head between your knees.
This is one of those things that you think is going to turn out okay. It got so much worse.
Stop being safe.
If I can do this.
Hands up, you're a sloppy chihuahua.
Jesus.
Goodbye.
F*** you, Gina. F*** you.
Here's to 2020.
2020 is definitely better than 2019.
There's a lot going on these days, so it's likely we've all been feeling a wide range of emotions lately, from anxiety and stress to depression, grief, even relationship issues.
It has been tough, and understandably, all of this can interfere with your happiness and prevent you from achieving your goals.
Thankfully, online professional counseling through BetterHelp is here for you now more than ever.
BetterHelp is the most convenient option, with services available worldwide.
Now, we still need to practice social distancing these days, and with BetterHelp, you can talk with counselors from the comfort of your own home and connect in a safe and private online setting.
Counselors have a broad range of expertise, and BetterHelp will match you with a counselor that's right for you. The best part? You can connect with a counselor in under 24 hours.
Send them a message at any time, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly sessions over the phone or video call, whatever works for you.
It's so, so convenient, and you don't have to feel uncomfortable in an office or waiting room.
Plus, it's more affordable than traditional options, and financial aid is available.
So many people have been using BetterHelp. They are recruiting counselors in all 50 states.
And don't worry, if your counselor is not the right match for you, you can change free of charge at any time.
Right now, the Daily Dish listeners can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/dish.
Take charge of your mental health and join over 1 million people who are doing the same. And remember, anything you say to a counselor is completely confidential.
Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/DISH. I feel like this trailer is so relatable in terms of everyone being like, 2020 is going to be the best year yet. And then it's like, boom, everything's terrible. And where is everyone? Yeah.
Right. I mean, so I feel like I have mixed feelings about reliving the COVID experience. You know, hopefully by the time this premieres in October, we will have passed a lot of it and there won't be a second wave. But it'll be interesting, I think, more than anything to see the production side of it. So I hope they do a little bit, and we saw it in the teaser, of breaking the fourth wall. And, you know, when the producer's like, you guys need to be 6 feet apart. Yes. So I hope we get to see a little bit more of how that worked from a production standpoint.
Yes. I feel like I know what you're saying in terms of, oh God, I don't know if I can relive this so close to, like, we're in it right now. We're still in the pandemic. But I think I'm just so happy we got enough time with these ladies before everything hit, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm super excited to see all of that. And I mean, just to dig into it, Elizabeth Vargas, the new wife that we're going to get, she seems fun.
From what we see in this trailer, she's going to bring kind of a fresh energy to the show that maybe we haven't seen in a while.
Right. And I think, you know, the elephant in the room is fans are wondering, am I still going to want OC without, you know, the original Trace Amigas in it? But I think based upon watching the Super Tease, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I feel like Shannon is a little bit of the central figure now, which I'm okay with because I'm always invested in Shannon's story at every step. Even if I don't always agree with her, I'm always invested in what she's going through. It seems like we have a lot of moments of Shannon versus everyone, Bronwyn versus everyone, Bronwyn versus Gina. I mean, I think we've seen a couple examples of where the tension's going to be this season.
Yes. We also get to see Gina's ex, Matt.
I know, finally.
Yeah, because before he was never able to film, even when they were married, because his job wouldn't allow him to. So the fact that we get to see his face and pretty amazing. And also interesting he would want to, given the stuff she revealed last season, you know, that big altercation they got into.
Yeah, that was surprising to me when he popped up in the trailer. The two of them seem to be on better terms, which no matter what, they're going to have to co-parent. So I'm glad that they seem to be on the other side of whatever they were going through before.
Also, the moment where we see Bronwyn say that someone was trying to blackmail her. Is she talking about her mom?
I don't know. That's really interesting to me. I'm curious if it's her mom, if it's someone else on the show, if it's someone.
It just occurred to me, you know, she and her husband sort of have this open marriage. Is it someone that they were involved with?
Ooh, that could be interesting.
Although she's been pretty open about it, so who knows? I think my rose for the Super Tease was watching Emily and Kelly making fun of Shannon's sharp little hand gestures with Shane just in the back seat, not saying anything.
Oh, Shane. Yeah, the Shannon hand gestures. Danny and I do that a lot when we try to talk to each other. We'll just like throw it in there if we want to lighten the mood, you know? It's too easy.
Aside from the Super Tease, which, you know, does give us so much, you also get a lot from the actual description of what's in store this season, which you can find on BravoTV.com. But I feel like a big point this season is, it's like Shannon is very much sticking to the rules and not everyone is following them in terms of COVID and how to stay safe. And that's a big thing. And that also Kelly comes, you know, sort of like is on the outs with a lot of people in the group because of insensitive comments she makes.
So it's going to be interesting to go forward with Kelly this season, because I know a lot of her opinions that she's put out on social media and things haven't been super well received. So I do wonder how the women on the show are going to react to some of her political beliefs or her stance on what happened with the pandemic. We know that she is with Rick now, and it seems like she was spending a lot of time in New York. So I'm curious to know, especially how much we know about Bronwyn and the work that she's been doing with Black Lives Matter and her response to what happened with the pandemic. I would imagine that there's going to be some tension with the women and Kelly this season, just as it relates to that.
I can't wait to see.
You know who wasn't in the teaser that I kind of expected to see a little bit more of, because he's all over Shannon's social media, is her boyfriend, John.
Are they living together?
I don't know. If so, she was probably quarantined away from him because we know she got COVID.
So the season 15 premiere is October 7th at 10:09 Central.
Mark your calendars. Yeah, let's do Beverly Hills, because I have a lot of feelings about this. Okay, so off the bat, I want to say something. I agree with Dorit, Denise, and Garcelle when it comes to Kyle and how she is very often stepping in or interrupting people. I mean, we saw it right in the package that they showed of her doing it all season long.
Kyle, you're doing it already. Let me finish, and then you can say whatever you want to say.
And I wanted to propose a question to both of you. Is this something about being an OG? Is this an OG mentality where, not that Kyle is necessarily self-producing, right? But she feels like she's been doing this for so long that when a disagreement or an argument happens, she feels like she needs to step in and not mediate, but participate in it.
It's her trying to get camera time. Is that what you mean?
Not necessarily camera time, but is it just like ingrained in her as an OG? Like she's been doing this for so long that she just feels like she needs to say something
maybe
all the time?
Possibly.
I don't know.
That's a theory that makes sense. I could see that being something that she's used to doing, because she knows that, like, okay, if you're going to have a storyline, you have to have an opinion. So she probably thinks that getting her opinion in there is
right.
That's priority. I actually never thought about that.
Right.
I thought that maybe like to hear the sound of her own voice.
She keeps saying, Garcelle, I think you're just searching for something to not like me over. Why would Garcelle do that? Also, yeah. This is not the first time someone has said that Kyle glazes over them. I think I've brought this up before. Carlton, that was her big beef with Kyle seasons ago. She was like, with the subtext being like, you don't care about me because I'm new here. If I was, you know, Elisa Vanderpump, you would care what I had to say. But because I'm new, you are like just glazing over me.
I could totally see that. I think because Kyle has this sort of like clique mentality, like she likes to be like in a tight, like she's, you know, really tight with Teddy, and then she was really tight with Lisa Vanderpump. And I feel like if you're not someone that she sees as being a part of your clique or a part of the group of people that is stuck together or their allies on the show, she doesn't really, really look to make that deep connection.
Yes, because I think they're also waiting to see how viewers react to the new girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she doesn't know yet if she should be on Garcelle's side. She's waiting. Like, she's very savvy, I think, in that way. And it's the same way Lisa Vanderpump was too. And like a Ramona, how Ramona is with Leah this season. I think that they're all waiting to see, are you going to stick around or are you one and done? Because I'm not going to invest if you're not going to be here for the long haul.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a great point. I think that it was Erica who warned Garcelle about Kyle and her Twitter fingers, because
I think Erica too.
Right?
I think so too.
So, I mean, obviously in that Watch What Happens Live episode that they're referencing, where the question was who is the most welcoming, her first response was Erica, who was the least welcoming. She said Sutton, but then she said Kyle. So I wonder if that welcoming that she felt from Erica was actually Erica being like, listen, here's how it really goes, Garcelle. Kyle's going to do this. So-and-so's going to do this. I mean, who knows if that was a real conversation and what it was like, but I definitely think it was Erica. And I was surprised that nobody owned up to it when Andy actually opened it up to the group.
I can't remember what they were fighting about, but two seasons ago, they directly asked Erica, the group asked Erica a question, and it was something like, did you say this about someone? And she was like, no. And then it came out that she did, and she was like,
yeah, you're right, I lied. I just didn't want to deal with it. Mm. So it's like she also has a history of not owning up to things that she's done a little bit.
Yeah.
Garcelle, who warned you about Kyle?
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Does anyone in this group want to cop to warning Garcelle about Kyle?
That was the first person that I thought of. Because I was like, okay, Denise was on, but Denise doesn't know the game well enough. And no one, I can't see anyone else really giving her that. I mean, maybe Dorit.
Right.
But because Dorit was kind of starting to, you know, fall out with Kyle. They kind of started to butt heads a little bit this season. But not to the point to where I feel like she would go out of her way to say those things. I think Erica would.
Yeah.
I have to say, to bring up that Garcelle hasn't paid the charity.
Oh my
yet.
God.
Then you came to my charity event, raised your paddle to donate $5,000 to Children's Hospital Los Angeles and never paid.
Because it had literally nothing to do with what they were talking about. Like she tied some weak thread about, well, you're saying we all need to be honest and be, you know, open, but you did this and you didn't pay. It's like that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Oh, that made me so mad. It's like, really? Like, you're gonna really go there and make it about money? Like, this is just like, it's, yeah, it totally just like built the bad taste in my mouth.
Yes, especially because you know that's not something Garcelle is going to be able to prove in that moment, right? Like, it's not like she just has the receipt right there. You're just leaving her looking like a dick who doesn't pay money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, she did text her business manager in the commercial break. So I'm hoping that maybe by part three of the reunion, he will have gotten back to her and then we'll have an answer as to where this money went. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would do if I was Garcelle. I'd be like, let me go find that receipt because I'm going to prove you wrong.
Oh, yeah. And because you just put her in a corner. It's like, where do you even go from there? That was just such a way to like shut it down. It's like somebody can't argue with you with something like that.
Right.
There's no proof. It's like, what are we going to do? Go back and forth? Like, they said, she said. It's like, right. Okay, yeah. Now this goes nowhere.
I think the feud that's surprising me most in this reunion is Dorit and Sutton. Like, I think that they are the two that have the most in common, really, and would get along the best. Sutton does not seem to like Dorit anymore. Like,
I know.
Maybe watching back the season, she saw things that she didn't like, but she was not having any of Dorit's apology about the whole, I'm going to lose my mind, you know, comment.
Right. I was a little surprised by that too, because that does feel so long ago in the season and so much has happened since then. The whole like Teddy Sutton tension, I understand, but the Dorit and Sutton feels like it was a situation that was blown way out of proportion, right? And I feel like Dorit was trying to wrap it up at this reunion and be like, I'm sorry that I reacted that way. And Sutton wouldn't really let it go, which surprised me. I was just kind of like, well, if the point is to move on from this, then why are we going to rehash and think about it in such like a technical way of, well, no, Dorit, you are saying it in a different way. Like, it just felt like a little force, and maybe Sutton felt like she needed to bring that to the reunion to earn her, you know, diamond next season, if there's a next season. But I don't know. Yeah, it was a little bit like it felt forced in a way that Sutton was trying to make something out of nothing and Dorit was trying to squash the beef.
Definitely. I felt the same way. And I think also, I bet when she watched it back, she probably felt a little bit like embarrassed by how she reacted, how she was just telling her to shut up. And she was trying to justify her reaction to what Dorit said after the fact.
Right.
Because you didn't really get that on screen. It was kind of like, whoa, Sutton, calm down. So I feel like that was like kind of her way of like wanting to show the audience like the reason why she was over. She was, I mean, because she was crying. Yeah. She started crying at that dinner.
And poor Lois is just sitting there like, what's going on with these ladies? I want to talk a little bit about a comment that Erica made about the seating arrangement at Denise's house where the kids were at one table, the women were at the other. We've heard about this all season long, right? Erica says she feels like it was a setup, like Denise purposely put the tables close to one another so that the kids would hear what they were talking about. Like, that to me feels like
was a reach.
Right. That's like a conspiracy theory. I mean, come on.
That was a reach for sure.
I am not seeing something that there's like, and by no means am I totally team Denise in this whole thing, because I did think Denise is putting on this whole act of being like, oh, clutch the pearls, you know, sex. But I don't think she was going so far as to set the rest of the ladies to look bad? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think she cares that much. Like, think about, Denise is not going to, she's going to, like, oh, put this table here. She's not going to think that far out. She's way too laid back for that. So I couldn't even personally picture her doing that.
What are your thoughts on everything that's happening with Denise? Since we haven't gotten you this whole season, I feel like we need to play a little bit of catch up. What is your take on the whole Denise versus the rest of the ladies drama?
Well, I definitely believe that something happened with Brandy. I don't know how, you know, long their relationship went on or how close they were. I do not agree with the ladies sort of all piling on to Denise and wanting to force this woman to, like, admit to whatever she did, because I feel like it's like this happened with someone who's not even on the show, who's completely irrelevant, and it's so obvious that they're trying to, like, drag her into the storyline just to sort of, like, give them something to talk about, because nobody wants to talk about their own dirt. Nobody wants to bring their own stuff forward. So it's very easy to do that, you know? So I don't agree with how they're piling on her, but I also don't agree with Denise. Is like, it makes it hard to stand behind her, because she, like, just go ahead and tell them that you said Erica Jane was cold. You said Teddy was annoying. Like, you're saying things that a lot of us agree with anyway. So I think if she would just be truthful about that part, I think that she owes them truth when it comes to talking behind their backs. But as far as the whole Brandy situation, I don't feel that Denise owes them anything, because it's just not relevant.
Yeah. And I think she could have said, I don't owe you anything. I'm not going to even go there with you guys, but I will address this other stuff.
Right.
Instead, I feel like to come up with the stuff like, oh, well, Brandy said she slept with everyone and this happened too and this. And it's just like, whoa, now we don't believe anything you're saying.
And it felt very immature. Like, it felt like the way that, like, a child would argue. They'd be like, well, what about, well, she'd say that about anyone. She could say it about you too. Like, it's just like, she's just pulling it out of nowhere. It doesn't even make any sense.
Agreed.
I feel like Denise has a lot of trouble actually remembering what happened. And I think that is a characteristic of someone who maybe doesn't always tell the truth, right? It becomes a little bit more challenging to keep track of lies if you say too many of them. But sometimes I'm like, maybe she just honestly forgot what happened that day of filming, because I think things come back up that these other women will bring up and Denise will just kind of look like a deer in headlights, right? She'll look like, I have no idea what they're talking about. And then she'll try to explain herself, or she'll try to remember what was happening, and it just kind of falls apart as she's speaking. And I'm like, maybe she just honestly, like, she's learning lines for her soap opera every day. She's got three kids. Like, she is busy. She is working. Like, maybe she just honestly forgot what happened that day of filming, and it's just all, you know, coming out at this reunion, which really, this is only her second season, right? So maybe she still feels like she has water legs a little bit as a housewife. And, you know, with everyone coming at her, like you said, Sasha, with everybody piling on, it's probably even harder for her to really, like, pick through and break down what she said, what they said, and, like, when it actually all went down.
Totally. And she hasn't had enough time to sort of flex that muscle to know that, okay, whenever the cameras are rolling or whenever you're really around these women, period, everything you say can and will be held against you.
Right.
And I don't think I don't think she was ready for it. She didn't, because that's not a normal way of sort of going into a relationship or conversation. You don't think that when you're talking to someone, like, remember every detail of what I'm saying. She's forced to tell a lie because she, like you said, she doesn't pay close enough attention because she's disengaged. She doesn't really care that much. And I think she didn't realize what she was getting into. She didn't know that how vicious these women were going to be, because she has these 20-year relationships. So she's probably thinking, oh yeah, I'll come on here and hang out with my girlfriends and have a good time. I mean, she even said, she's like, I just want to have fun. And I think she thought that it was going to be fun.
Yeah.
But little did she know.
Right. That she would be in this position.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that whereas the rest of the ladies are sort of annoyed, maybe that's not the right word, but they don't have the visceral anger that Lisa Rinna seems to have toward Denise.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what that's about.
So I want to talk about the tweet, right, that came up. And we know about this concept of subtweeting, right? Like, you do something on social media or you say something, you're not very clear about who you're talking about or what it's in reference to, but people can read between the lines. And Sasha, you probably know better than Megan and I do about, you know, the Bravo influencers and the screenshots and all the different, you know, fan groups and the way that there's people who are really like investigators, right? They look into the tweets and there are screenshots of things and they really break down, like, okay, this is probably what's going on, you know, reading between the lines. And I think Denise liking that tweet, for her, she's not really thinking anything of it. She probably didn't read the whole thing exactly like she said. Maybe it was even an assistant or somebody else who just like was looking at the hashtag. Who knows? But I think, you know, that is such a dangerous thing to do, right? With social media being such a part of the drama now and the aftermath of what happens on these shows, it's so easy for something like that, a small action of liking a tweet, to be used against you, that you really have to be conscious at all times of like your activity on social media and when the cameras are rolling. And I think it's just another example of Denise like really not knowing what she's doing. But it makes sense that Rinna was really upset by that, because there were things in that tweet that really were about Rinna's character. And I understand why she was maybe so upset. But like you said, Megan, she is really angry at Denise.
But one of the things that Lisa was so upset about in the tweet was that she's like, you wanted me to lose my job.
Why? How would we move forward as a group?
You liked about Erica. Denise, you thought you liked a comment that said that Lisa Rinna should lose her job.
No, I
out of here.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Is it wrong that I don't think that's a big deal? Like, if I have a bad day at work because someone that I work with was an asshole, of course I'm going to say, I hope they lose their job. I'm not going to actively go and make it happen, but I just don't understand why we're not allowed to say that we hope something happens.
That's true.
You're like, that's an opinion.
I'm like, well, yeah. I'm like, I hope you never say that about me, but never. Okay.
Right, like, don't come for my job. Look, don't come for my job. So I feel like maybe she's afraid that Denise, her saying that would really have an effect.
I guess Denise does have some sort of leverage because Brandy is not at this reunion.
I mean, I understand why that would annoy Rinna too, because if Brandy's not a part of this conversation at some point in this three-part reunion, then there's really never going to be any resolution to the issues that they're having.
And also, if I can add on to that, I also think because they're both actors, and it's very everyone that's an actor knows, like me as an actor, if another actor ever said anything that they wish I didn't have a job, it would just hit so hard because the jobs are so like feast and famine. Like if you have a gig that's steady and for someone to like wish that you didn't have that gig, it's just such a low blow. And that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective, actually.
Because it's just so, you know, it's few and far in between. It's like with acting, you're either working, or you're completely irrelevant. You know, you're hot or you're nothing.
Yeah.
So for her to wish her to not have it, that's why she's like, you know how hard it is in this industry to get a job. You know, we've been doing this for 20 years. But for you to come for my job, it's like, that's crossing the line. So I bet that's why she took such an offense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, that does. That clears things up for me. Well,
and too, like, I mean, and like we said, Denise is working on a soap opera all the time, which is like a fantastic gig for an actor to get regularly. And it is a lot of work. And then, I mean, no shade to Rinna, but this show is kind of her only real steady gig at this point. Mm-hmm. So that actually does add up.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. It's a big one. In the acting community, it's like, even if somebody has a job where they're like, you know, wearing a hot dog on their head the whole show, you don't say anything. You do not say anything because we know if you take what you get when it comes to the acting stuff, it's not like, oh, I want to play this role. You get a choice when you're, you know, a big name, when you're Meryl Streep and you're getting offers. But if you're anything, if you're still auditioning, you take what you can get. So I feel, you know, I feel that frustration. But I, like we said, I don't think Denise knew what she was doing. I think she was just, she wasn't paying attention because she got many other things that she cares way more about than Twitter.
I think Denise is, like, I'm seeing a little bit of what Monique from Potomac is going through. I just feel like Denise has too much happening. She has three kids. One of her children has special needs. Plus, she has the soap opera job that is so taxing. And I think she's just got a little too much going on.
Well, and let us not forget that, you know, they also have people following them, which was another storyline that I wish we had explored a little bit more this season. If there's really some like big pharma people after Aaron and they're being followed
right,
in these streets.
A lot of stress.
That was like, that's a real missed opportunity, I think, for a really fun storyline. But, you know, if they have that going on top of everything else, then, you know, Denise, she's really preoccupied in her mind.
That's for sure. And not to mention all the Charlie Sheen stuff that she's constantly dealing with. I mean, that's a three-line always.
I mean, that alone.
That alone. I don't know how she does it. I mean, these because, you know, I'm assuming that Eileen probably got super busy, you know, with working on her show and doing that. So I was like, I don't know how people do soap operas and do these shows, because soaps, I mean, that's every day. Most shows you shoot an episode a week, every 8 to 7 days. You're shooting an episode a day. You're learning all that dialogue and you're doing maybe one or two takes. They don't do several takes like you do when you do things that are like on location, you know? When you're in the studio, like,
right,
that,
there's no time. There's
no time. So I'm just like, the fact that she's even showing up is like impressive to me.
Right. Anything else before we move on to Roni?
You know, when you're talking about how Erica was getting upset about the seating, I didn't understand why Erica and Rena were both together coming so hard at Denise about the whole, like, saying that she was targeting Erica about the sex comments, when really Denise wasn't coming specifically for Erica. And I feel like Erica was taking offense to it because Erica's sensitive around, like, being slut-shamed, you know? Because, what, you know, when Dorit was, like, trying to shame her about the panties when she first came on the show?
Yes. You're right. She is very sensitive. Right? I think in general she's very sensitive. And then you're right. There's an extra layer when it comes to the anything that has to do with sexuality.
Yes, because, you know, you have Erica Jane over-sexualized. You know, when Bethany came on the show, Bethany just, like, totally just put her down.
Oh, right.
And also, like, she said that a lot of men don't like her. They're threatened by her because she's so powerful and she wears her sexuality and, you know, very, she's, you know, she's like, I get a lot of men like Aaron. I got a lot of men like PK that they want to try to shut me down because she's so powerful. So I feel like she's very sensitive when it comes to her sexuality. And I feel like she was hypersensitive when it came to what Denise was saying, but I don't think Denise was trying to come for specifically Erica. So I felt that it wasn't warranted, like the sort of anger that she, because she was really going hard at Denise and she was not letting go.
Motherfucker, I'm out.
Yeah, it's like, really? It's not that deep.
Yeah. And she wasn't listening to Denise
at all.
Her response, you know, she wasn't really engaging. She was just kind of unleashing.
Exactly. And then how Rena wanted to say, oh, that's just Denise gaslighting. Denise is not gaslighting. She really is confused why Erica's so mad. She wasn't gaslighting her.
Right. I think Rena found her new buzzword and she's just maybe using it a little too loosely in this situation. But
don't you hate it when someone's learned a new word and they're just like applying it in all situations? You're like, no, sweetie, that's not this.
It happens in the workplace a lot, right? It happens like a lot of times when you're in certain meetings and you hear just like different people say certain words and you're like, oh God, okay, this is the word of the hour. Here we go. Okay, let's talk about Roni because wow. No shade, but imagine.
Right.
No shade, but shade.
You're like, I know where this is going.
Imagine you are a music producer, songwriter, whatever, and you work with Barbara Streisand. I mean, who is bigger than Barbara, right? And then a few months later, a few years later, whatever it is, you're working with Luann. Like, you know, and it's just like, and Megan and I have talked about this a lot, Sasha, so I'm curious your perspective on the whole thing. Do you feel like Luann is self-aware? Is she clued into the fact that a lot of what she does is kind of a gimmick? Or do you think she really is in this mindset of like, I am a singer, you know, maybe not a vocalist, but a singer who has, you know, I have songs that people love. Like, does she think of herself on the same level as Barbara? Or do you think she really understands where she ranks in that scale?
As much as I would love to believe, and I really want to believe that she's in on the joke, I don't think she is. I think she fully believes that she's the next Broadway star, and she doesn't understand why she's not on Broadway and Erica Jane is.
Right.
It's just like, if someone is playing Chic C'est La Vie at their wedding, they're doing so ironically, right? Like, it's because you have a real Roni fanatic who is in the bridal party. It's not because it's a song for the ages. And I feel like Viva La Diva, I don't care who wrote it. I just can't get behind this song.
Well, also, what's funny about that too is the guy who wrote it, the two other songs that she credits are Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer.
And then
Bon
what
Jovi.
Was the other one? There was one other one.
Live in La Vida Loca.
Live in La Vida Loca. Oh, so there's.
Oh my God, he really likes living and like. Right. Yeah.
It's all. He likes the love. They're all just the same song, but like different variations.
Living on a Prayer. Living La Vida Loca and. Viva
and living
diva.
The diva life, you know, like it's all just a
yeah, basically.
It's just like the song is just like catered to the artist, right? They're just like, we'll do a new arrangement, we'll change some of the words around, and there you go.
It really does get stuck in your head for days.
Oh my gosh, talk about a one-trick pony. He's like, I found what works for me. Everybody wants to be a diva. There's always going to be somebody that wants to be a diva, so let me just stick with this one formula. And make it last as long as possible.
One great thing about this episode is we got a cameo from Lori Cooper, who is Dorinda's real estate agent.
Oh, I know.
Sasha, have you had the fortune of interacting with Lori Cooper?
I have not.
You just invite her to an Insta Live. She'll do it for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised, Sasha, that she has not reached out.
She probably follows you. You should check.
Yeah, I bet she does because she's pretty clued in to the Bravo. The Bravo world. She has been a little bit low key lately, I will say. I've noticed on social media, but she was quite active. We had her on the show. We had her surprise Heather McMahon. What was that last year, Megan? I think.
Yeah.
What's and that was anymore? Really fun.
Yeah.
No, I'm like that could have been the beginning of this year. No, but I think it was last year. But she definitely is a crucial part, I think, of Dorinda's storyline when it comes to real estate and moving around.
I thought it was funny, though, that Leah was like, ugh, these women seem to be sick of cabaret, but I thought it was great. And like, Leah, we are all sick of it. Like, it is not just the ladies. Like, I can't hear about it anymore. I just can't.
She's like, Luann's got a new audience member. I'm like, please don't give her a new audience member because we will never.
Right, we don't.
Oh, my God.
I know. Do we really blame Ramona for skipping that?
No. Also,
no,
Dorinda was recovering from hand surgery. She could have obviously gone. She didn't want to. And who can blame her? It's enough.
Yeah.
And the setting for the preview, it was like so the lights were all fluorescent. That room that they were in, like it wasn't even like cool vibe. Like it wasn't like, oh, they were having drinks and everything. It was like in like a rehearsal room. Like I don't want to watch.
It was like in the garish light of a church gymnasium.
Exactly. I'm like, where are we? Like the vibe is not right at all.
Well, and let's be real. I mean, Sonia is the true star of Mary Kill, right? And I think she was the true star of Luann's Cabaret when I first saw it, because Sasha, I went to the episode that they showed Luann's first cabaret. It was a couple seasons ago, the finale episode. I was there. And I remember Sonia getting on stage and she flashed her butt and it was like a whole thing. And, you know, at that point, the cabaret was so new and fresh and like there was still this novelty to it, right? Mm-hmm. But at this point, I don't know. I mean, I felt like Luann's jokes fell a little flat and maybe it was because of the setting and the fluorescent lights and like whatever. But, you know, I think Sonia still brings a certain energy, a certain charisma.
She's more of a natural performer, I think, in terms of like comedy, that type of thing.
Right, exactly.
And I feel like Sonia gets it. Like she gets the joke.
Yeah.
She gets it. It's ridiculous.
Yes. She's in on the joke.
That's what makes her so much more likable. It's like we're laughing with her. Whereas Luann, we're like uncomfortably laughing at her. Yikes.
It's so funny because even last night, there's been this whole drama over Bella Thorne and OnlyFans. I don't know if you guys saw that news. Uh-huh. But it was like Sonia commented on it like, you should check out my OnlyFans account. Great content.
Oh, yes.
Like, this is so Sonia. This is so Sonia.
Yeah.
I want to subscribe and see just because I'm just curious. Like, what goes on that OnlyFans?
I think she tells anecdotes from the show that you don't get to see. And I'm like, this is actually very good content I would pay for.
Okay, I might have to check it out. Because she advertises it like every day on her. And she tags me in it. And I'm like, do you want me to repost this every time to like advertise? I'm not advertisement over here. Like,
I know.
My followers are going to be like, okay, Sasha, like, we get it.
Also, are you getting a cut? Because like, you know.
Okay, I want to talk about the drag party. And I'm going to say something and then it's like all I can really say about it. But I want you both to keep your eyes on this gentleman, Ron, that Ramona brought to the party. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
What is that?
But I think
what
we haven't seen the last of him.
No. No, you can't. Mark my words. You can't do that, Eric. What are you talking about?
You mark my words, both of you, and in the future, we will regroup on this at some point, and Sasha will make sure to have you back on
Eric,
the show.
Eric, at that time. Is he the one who's dating Dorinda?
Okay.
No, not as far as I know, but maybe that we will learn that at the reunion.
Oh my God, I was getting very, he's not dating Leah.
No. I think Leah is dating someone. I think she posted not too long ago a picture of some guy. And actually, I had DM'd her not too long ago when I was downtown. And I was like, oh, I'm in your neighborhood. And she was like, oh, I'm on a date. And I was like, oh. And I was like, who is this guy? And she was like, I don't know. I kind of like him. And I was like, oh, good for you. And then I saw her post a picture of a guy recently. It's not Ron, but it's some other gentleman. I think they're seeing each other.
You have to give us another hint. You can't leave it at that.
I'll tell you it has to do with another franchise. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, he is. I mean, is it rude to say creepy or is it okay? Because he literally.
I mean, that's how you feel.
He literally said to Leah, you're in your prime right now. I can make you shine.
You're at your prime right now.
I know.
I can make you shine.
Okay. Thank you.
Disgusting.
Ugh. What?
Ugh. Barf.
Gross.
Barf.
He said that exactly what you like expect someone like him to say. Like I was like, yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah, of course that's what you would say.
And then how he snuck up behind Leah and was like, did she just say I'm disgusting? It was like something like that. It's like, yes.
It seems like he hasn't been paying attention to conversations in the last like several years around like how you behave near women, right. You know? Like he has not been clued into these combos somehow.
I also thought it was a little hypocritical of Sonia to be like, Ramona, didn't you read the invitation? She didn't read Ramona's birthday invitation that had a dress code printed on it. None of the women did. So I don't think they can really get mad at Ramona for not looking at invitations too closely either.
And I wanted to just say, I don't know why you bring a straight guy to an LGBTQ.
It did not say on the invitation,
gay or out. It says bring your best friend drag queen.
No, it did not say. Okay, listen.
You said I'm not doing that shit.
Open your attachments.
You brought the same old people that you always bring.
Because they're my best friends like you.
I said don't bring your boring friends. I'm not bringing mine.
They're not boring. I love
them. Yes, they are. I'm your
friend. Oh, my God.
You ran out of Leah's party. You ran out of Leah's party, too. That was a little what?
Hold on. He'll be gay by the end of the night. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think Sonia should have just made it extra clear because I feel like it was like if it had been something that had to do with dress code, I don't feel like Sonia would have reacted like that. It was more of the fact that she wanted it to be like an LGBTQ party. And then
yeah, just say no straight guys. Put that in the subject line.
Exactly. Like, very clear because they're not going to read it. If it's down at the bottom in small font, they're not going to read it.
So the party's great. And then we get the end cards and we understand what everyone's up to. And then the drama starts because Leah wants to make a toast to Tinsley. And not even really to Tinsley as much as just like, thank you to Tinsley for introducing me to this group. And then like, letting me get to know you guys. And Dorinda went nuts.
No, I'm not doing that shit.
Oh, come on, come on. Sorry.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Sorry, I'm not part of that. Tizzy, I will not give Tizzy that. F you. I won't.
That's bullshit.
Tizzy did shit. Tizzy almost ruined our show.
She had too much to drink. Oh, my God.
I was like, what is, you really hate Tinsley that much?
I am starting to feel like I know why Dorinda has left the show. I think that she was probably so pissed that Tinsley got out of her contract that she was like, you know what? After this season, I'm done. Because if she's getting she's always felt Tinsley has gotten preferential treatment because she feels like Tinsley coasts by without having to reveal too much about her personal life while Dorinda's, you know, kind of bearing it all. And then I think this season she was like, I'm done now.
Is this how you want to go out, Dorinda? Like, that's my question, you know?
No,
I mean,
I know.
Maybe there'll be a little bit of opportunity for redemption at the reunion. From the previews, it looks like she's still pretty angry and she has some not so nice things to say to some of the other women, Tinsley included. But I'm just like, why Tinsley of all people? Like, what is it about her that you're like, what is it you're really mad about? Is it that she got out of her contract? Is it that she didn't reveal as much of her personal life? Which Megan and you and I have talked about it. And Sasha, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Like Tinsley has talked about you know, her freezing her eggs. She's talked about her arrest. She's opened up her life.
Talked about anal with her first husband.
Right. I mean, I think, sure, a lot of Scott and her relationship with him was not totally revealed. There was so much back and forth. It was over the course of so many years that maybe she wasn't always fully transparent as to where she and Scott stood. But reading between the lines, like, Scott seemed to not want anything to do with the show. So for Tinsley to leave halfway through the season, it was really something that she felt like she had to do.
It was real life.
Yeah, it was real life.
She got in. Yeah, like, she had an opportunity to get back together with someone that she thinks is going to be, you know, her partner and the father of her children.
Right.
Of course she's going to, like, what? Of course she's going to.
A big part of why Dorinda sort of has this resentment towards Tinsley is, like, so much more than just her not revealing enough information about her relationship with Scott. I think it ties back to, like, Dorinda just has a lot of resentment towards what Tinsley represents, because Tinsley was basically, you know, she was raised with a silver spoon in her mouth. She's been wealthy her whole life. And Dorinda has, you know, made it very clear that she's worked her way up. She was a server for 10 years and sort of brown-nosed her way up and worked her way up the ranks and ended up, you know, marrying money. So I think that her seeing someone like Tinsley, who comes on the show and doesn't, you know, necessarily need the show, because she's going to be wealthy before and after the show, and her have this great relationship waiting for her. She has a lot of things that Dorinda doesn't have. So I think that Dorinda, you know, she resents her, and she sees a lot of things intensely that she wishes that she maybe had had when she was younger, or that maybe even now, because, you know, now she's single. She's broken up with John. So, you know, she's jealous that she's not going to get this fairy tale ending, that her ex-husband died. She didn't end up with her fairy tale ending. So I think there's a lot of things that Tinsley has going on for her that brings up a lot for Dorinda. And she just takes her anger out on Tinsley, and she's not fair when it comes to Tinsley, because she's just blinded by her own anger and resentment towards what Tinsley represents.
Which, it's like not liking Bambi. Like, what? Why? She's the most inoffensive person. I do think it is a little sad that it's how she went out. Like, the last season was not a great one for her, in my opinion, but it is what it is.
I think it's good. I think she needs to go to therapy.
Yeah.
She just need, and I'm not even saying that because people say that a lot, like as a joke. I honestly feel like she suffered a great loss.
Yeah.
And then she got on the show.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, not that she would agree with you, but I think that there, one day she'll see that.
Luann is a mirror. She knows that could be her next. And so the fact that she hasn't gotten arrested, that's the only thing that keeps, that's the line between her and Luann that helps her to feel like, oh, well, I don't have a drinking problem because of this, when deep down she knows that she rages when she drinks. The rage comes out when she drinks because she's angry.
Yeah.
So I think that her getting off the show, I think in the perfect world, she leave the show, you know, a couple seasons, go to therapy, you know, get do like Sonya did, go to some retreat or something in Arizona, take care of yourself, and then come back with a fresh attitude. I think fans would really like to see that.
I agree.
Agreed.
Do we know if Tinsley will be present at all parts of the reunion, or is she like dipping in and dipping out?
We don't know, I think, about all parts, but she's definitely going to be there.
For most of it, though, we think. I hope so.
I don't know.
I just want Tinsley back on my TV.
You love Tinsley.
I doubt it. I feel like the tension will be so high with her there. I feel like there'll be so much anger coming out of Dorinda that they probably won't have her there very long.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the other person that I was wondering about is Elise. I mean, she kind of just fell away towards the end of the season, except for the fight with Ramona at Leah's party. But I guess maybe just because of COVID-19, it just didn't make sense to bring Elise along. But I don't know. I feel like I'd like to hear from her one more time, especially just see her confront Ramona.
I feel like if the timing had been different and we weren't in a pandemic almost, I think maybe we would have gotten Elise. Like, we would have had the ability to bring her in for a sec, but maybe it just didn't make sense at this point.
Do you think Ramona had anything to do with it? Like, well, if Elise comes up,
I mean, I would not be surprised.
Right? I could totally see her pulling it.
Yeah, nothing Ramona does would surprise me.
If she comes, I walk. Can't you? I can hear her in her voice. Exactly. You know what? I'm done.
Yeah. You do a good Ramona.
I have to say, though, Ramona looks great at the reunion. The longer, like, extensions, like the blonde that she has. I mean, Ramona looks fantastic for her age. I really hope I look anything like that when I'm, what is she, 63, 64 maybe now?
My favorite line from the reunion super tease is Ramona being like, I just drink water. That's why I'm so thin. And Drina's like, you're not that thin.
That was a low blow because Ramona is thin. Oh my God. We've seen Ramona in person.
It was so funny to me.
The last time Ramona was in the office, she was like hiking up her dress to show us her butt and how good her legs looked. And I was like, yeah, right, Ramona. Say what you will about Ramona, but she looks good.
It's funny. When she was getting ready for the reunion, I sent her like an emoji or a DM, and she was like, oh, which jewelry should I wear? And I like gave her my input on her jewelry, and she ended up wearing what I suggested. Oh, I thought it was really sweet.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh yeah, wear this one. And she did.
Jewelry by Sasha.
right. Holla at me. Holla at your girl.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Megan, what's your rose?
Oh, okay. So my rose was definitely Real Housewives of Potomac. So we got that amazing moment with T'Challa going after Wendy. I honestly think T'Challa thought it was Monique and was just going over to sit on his mom, but like Wendy freaked out. But my favorite moment is you have to go back, rewatch it a few times. Candace takes a, like, sees what's happening, takes a bite of food real quick, and then responds. Like she shoves it in real quick because she doesn't want to lose that bite of food. It's so funny.
She's always got a utensil in her hands. I mean, there's just never a time that Candace is not holding a knife or a fork or something.
But seriously, I want to know you ladies on a deeper level, but more. Oh my God, my wig. Y'all scared my baby.
No, the baby scared us.
What are you doing? What happened to the bird?
I'll do my rose because it's actually broad and kind of general. And I'm going to just give my rose this week to Leah overall for surviving her first season on Real Housewives of New York City. I'm so grateful that we had her this season. You know, we've talked about it. Sasha, I know you're a big fan. Like Megan and I have talked about it so much, how she just really seamlessly integrated into this group. And she was also one of the only housewives I can really think of who was so well received right off the bat by fans. And I just feel like I'm so grateful that we had her, especially because Tinsley did leave halfway through the season. And it is always good to have someone that you can relate to that's closer to your age, you know, on the show so you can see yourself kind of reflected in one of the characters. So I'm just, you know, I'm going to give my rose to Leah this week.
That's a good one.
Good one.
That's a good one. You're right, because there's not a lot of first timers that stand out in my mind that like I really feel like really changed the game and could sort of change the tone of the whole show. Like she really brought a really fresh perspective to the show.
Sasha, what was your rose?
I just saw on Instagram this morning, which I was like, oh, this actually made me feel really great about last night's episode of Potomac. I saw that Wendy tweeted basically an apology to Ashley about how she reacted to Ashley bringing baby Dean.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good rose because I like that moment because that was the only time so far that I kind of was like, I didn't really like the way that Wendy sort of reacted. And I feel like that kind of was like a moment of where she could have handled herself differently. So the fact that she, you know, went ahead and put that tweet out this morning and she's like, you know what? I was overreacting. I was just under a lot of stress. No shade to Ashley. We're all good. So that made me feel like a lot better.
Yeah.
About the situation.
I love that.
That's a good one.
It's really good.
The ladies are really good. The Potomac ladies are really good about live tweeting what goes on in the episode. So they're good to follow just in case you want to know a little bit more or get those apologies or commentary on what happens in the episode. All right, let's do thorns. Megan, what's your thorn?
Okay, so watching Below Deck Med this week, I was glad that Aisha came back. But then I remembered Aisha's just a little too positive for me. Aisha thinks everything is the best thing ever. And I just am not that person. And it's a little much.
Right, right. I mean, I get that.
I just need Aisha to take it down like two notches.
Yeah. I can see that. It is a little much.
What was your thorn? Eric.
Well, I'm going to keep it balanced and I'm going to give Leah my thorn also because she did not wear heels to the drag party. Like, come on, girl. You got all of these guys walking around in drag in heels. You've got all these women dressed to the nines. She looked great. Her hair looked great. I love the dress that she wore. I understand her personal style. She would pair something like that with a pair of like, you know, I think they were Adidas or whatever. But you're at a drag party. Like, this is the time. Like, look crazy. Do something ridiculous and at least put on heels.
Yeah.
Totally. Right?
Totally. Yes, I totally agree. I felt the same.
Thank
I was
you.
Like, really? Really, tennis shoes?
Really?
The drag queens were throwing a little shade, too. They were like, really, honey? You couldn't put on heels? We did.
I mean, you're doing heels, and she's wearing her Adidas sneakers. I know. Is that a choice? Is she okay?
Yeah, she okay.
If we have to wear heels. Just kidding.
Totally agree. That's a good one. I would say I started thinking about Below Deck as well. I would say my thorn was when Jess... So I was really, really, really disappointed to see after he made that grand gesture to, you know, say, oh, I'm going to go to Bali with you. And then the next episode, he's like, I'm talking to my ex on the phone. I might be reconnecting with my ex. If that were me, I would have been so upset and my feelings would have been so, and I would have been so mad. Like, I get it. And they're like, oh, well, you don't have a right to be mad. He's just dealing with something. But you just told me that you were going to come and be in Bali with me. That we're basically going to like try out being together. And then lo and behold, oh, here comes your ex-girlfriend come a knocking, just ruining all of our plans. So I felt for her because I'm the type of person where like, if I'm into somebody and they're not very clear about them being into me, you know, if they feel like they're wishy-washy or playing games, it's an immediate turn off. So I really felt for her when he sort of flipped the script on her.
Yeah, 100%.
That's so funny. I felt like I saw it from his perspective. I was like, oh God, her crazy is showing. Like, just hold it together. Just a few more charters. Like,
oh, why are you talking to your ex-girlfriend though?
But it sounded like she was in trouble.
Nah, block her. Don't talk to your ex. Your ex got a lot of people she can call. She doesn't have a friend. She doesn't have a parent. True. She doesn't have
best. Right. Like, he's on a boat. Like, what's he going to do?
Do not call my man. If I'm with you, we're dating. Block your ex. She does not need to call.
I'm with Sasha on this one.
Okay.
I don't play that. If you're in trouble and the only person you can call is your ex-boyfriend, y'all are still in a pretty tight relationship, you know, because you don't think to call your ex when you're in trouble unless y'all are like, you know, still kind of talking. You're still engaged. Like, nobody wants to reach out to their ex. You broke up for a reason.
Yeah.
You know,
we all have it in us.
And the crazy was peeking. The crazy was peeking out.
Oh, I know. I was like, oh God.
she was like, I will beat her down. If she shows her face, I will beat her down. So I was a little bit like, okay, watch it. But I totally felt where she was coming from because I don't share. Right. That's why I'm like, I could never be Giselle. I don't share when it comes to my men. Once you cheat and you step out, I'm pretty much good on you.
Well, this has been so fun. Sasha, thank you so much for coming on the show and recapping all of this with us. This was a huge week and you did so amazing, like helping us get through it.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys were so much fun.
Yeah, you were fantastic. And where can everyone find you? Remind them.
Yes, I'm on Instagram at the Bravo Breakdown. I post my weekly breakdowns every week on IGTV. I rotate between Roni, Beverly Hills, and Potomac. Pretty soon, though, it'll just be Potomac until we get our next batch of shows. Do you guys know if Salt Lake City is airing or any tips on?
I think all we can tell you is fall.
Okay. Okay. So hopefully maybe Potomac will carry us out. Potomac will carry us out into the fall and then Salt Lake.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Potomac will certainly carry us through until we get a couple more, you know, of our ladies back in our lives.
Yes. Okay. So I will be breaking down all things Potomac at the Bravo Breakdown on Instagram.
Awesome. Sasha, thank you so much.
And we'll be back with an all new episode next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.